Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A similar number of boys and calves have been playing with Krishna for one whole year, yet they are different from the ones illusioned by my mystic potency. Who are they? Where did they come from? Please repeat. A similar number of boys and calves have been playing with Krishna for one whole year. Yet they are different from the ones illusioned by my mystic potency. Who are they? Where did they come from? Although appearing like calves, cows, and cowherd boys, these were all Vishnu. Actually, they were Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. Brahma was surprised. The original cowherd boys and calves, cowherd boys and cows, he thought, are still where I put them last year. So who is it that is now keeping company with Krishna exactly as before? Where have they come from? Brahma was surprised that his mystic power had been neglected without touching the original cows and cowherd boys kept by Brahma. Krishna had created another assembly of calves and boys who were all expansions of Vishnu Tattva. Thus, Brahma's mystic power was superseded. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyanjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militanjena Tasmay Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Daratispa Pitantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Sakrachatam Sakanaragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vishabhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Aripriye Vancha Kalpatara Vishaka Pasundhubhya Vichak Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadara, Shri Vasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshmananima Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, what I'd like to do is give a little credit to, not little, a lot of credit to Prabhupada, because this was the last of his translation in Vrindavan, just before he left this mortal world. And yesterday we had very, very exciting presentation by Navadvip Chandra. And we can see that this Srimad Bhagavatam is so potent. It's reaching far out to those that never ever dreamed of getting this presentation, this translation. So it was so inspiring. Most people are listening online these days. And when you're sitting here, you cannot see the excitement of the audience outside. So it was very exciting to hear that these 12 devotees have taken this Krishna consciousness, this Srimad Bhagavatam, and not even like the basic studies, it's like not even Bhakti Shastri, they've gone to Bhakti Vaibhava, and most of them are our congregational members. So you can see how serious they're taking this work. So I felt so enlivened to see, you know, to understand that Prabhupada, He's given us so much, and it's being, all this work is being utilized to full capacity by all our devotees. And those 12 devotees, some of them have been studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. I had two devotees for 5 years stretch. How is that possible? I mean, some of us have been around a long time, But never have I taken this like so seriously to my heart to study every day. And Sunday is like a special day. You want to put your feet up and rest at home. And these devotees are driving from 2 hours away from the temple to come and study the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this work here is so vitally important. When you read these purports carefully, you will see Srila Prabhupada's feelings going right into the purports. So special. So Prabhupada at the at the end of his life, he decided to come to the West. His doctor told him that an ordinary person will be screeching in pain for the condition he was in. But at that time, he decided to come to the West. He was selfless, completely selfless, compassion for the living entity. And a few days before he left his body, he was doing this translation. He didn't eat, he wasn't eating for days. He couldn't even walk. He couldn't even talk. But he was translating these books all for the benefit for the living entities at large. That is the compassion of a selfless saint, a saintly person. So we should take it upon ourselves in our heart to try and just go into the meditation of how Srila Prabhupada painstakingly translated the books for our benefit by constantly reminding ourselves of this meditation and reading Prabhupada's memories from his disciples. Actually, this particular translation, it's explained in the summary in the beginning that Prabhupada was, he was so ill, he couldn't, at the end, he couldn't even translate it himself. So he was getting assistance from his disciples to continue his translation. That's how it was. So we should take it upon ourselves to really study these books. I should speak to myself because I don't like studying so much. I just like chanting the holy name, that's it. But studying these books is the only way where we'll be able to be preaching, distributing these books, because people on the street, they're looking for alternatives in this day and age. They're not happy with how things are going out there. And they may ask certain questions. And if we are not reading these books and we cannot answer them, then it makes us look very foolish. So we should be studying these books very, very carefully and appreciate what Prabhupada has given us. Who knows? So this particular text, Lord Brahma, where's my glasses? I was listening to Krishna Shetra Maharaj's class. He said he was walking on the beach in Bombay and he saw the plane coming at a distance. He couldn't hear the noise, but he could see this form of this aeroplane coming because there's an airport near Bombay by the beach. So as the plane was nearing, he could hear the sound coming louder and louder and louder. And he was explaining, this is how the noises come out of our bodies as we're getting older. And the more pain and the more brittle our bones and all get, the louder the noise becomes. So he was explaining it. He gave like a graphic example of this. And I thought, wow, that's interesting, because now you can't hear very well. You can't sing very well. You can't, you're just all downhill now. So I heard Mother Kulanganath the other day, she was saying, amazing thing, just listening, just absorbing myself. She was saying, before I was very fearful of dying. And she said, I thought I'm not qualified for Krishna's blessing, but now I'm ready. I think Krishna is going to give me his blessing. And this made, it was like, such an amazing thing in the heart for someone to say that, I know I'm going to get Krishna's blessing. So that's how we should be at the end of our life, to think, okay, I've qualified myself. I've done everything I can, The problem, I think most of our problems is when we do something wrong, Our own energy goes there, and we're thinking, why did I do this? But Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, actually almost contradicted Krishna's verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadhamam Parichetya, Mame Kam Sharanam Raja, Tvam Sarva Papi Pyo Muksha Ishami Masacha. Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. I will protect you. But I will protect you. But Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. He's very kind. He says, you don't have to give up anything. Just add the holy name to your life. And everything else will just fade away. We don't have to concentrate. Because we in the material world, we're conditioned. You know, Maya is so powerful. 7:14, Krishna says, Daivi shaguna mai mama maya durachaya mameva syasi papadante maya mitam tarantite. This is his divine energy. Why are we so attracted to it? There's only one reason why we attracted to this energy. And this energy is Krishna's. It's coming from him. Directly from him. But here, Lord Brahma, what he's doing, he says, this is very clearly, he says in the translation, it's strange. Okay, he says, a similar number of boys and calves have been playing with Krishna for one whole year, yet they are different from the ones illusioned by my mystic potency. He's saying, my mystic potency. So if he didn't say it, if he knew it wasn't his mystic potency, he wouldn't be bewildered. But because we are all... as soon as we get a position, we want to lord it over. I, me, and mine. We think we the controllers of every situation. So Lord Brahma is all saying here, yet they are different from the ones illusioned by my mystic potency. Who are they? Where did they come from? So he is bewildered. He was bewildered because he was under false impression that this energy was his energy. But Krishna says very clearly, 7:14, Daivi Isha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyayam. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. Duratyayam is very difficult. But one who takes shelter of me can cross beyond it. Prabhupada gives an example of a hoof print. When there's a water in a hoof print, we can cross over very easily. But if it's the ocean or a mountain, it's very, very difficult. So, therefore, Lord Brahma got baffled because he thought it was his illusory energy. Now, this old Bhagavad Gita is based on Krishna's pledges to his devotees. He's pleading in every chapter, I will do this to you, you take shelter. I will do this for you, because you're my dear friend. You are part and parcel of me. He's constantly saying how he wants to help us, how he wants to take us back home, back to God. And somehow, due to some independent nature from time immemorial, we landed ourselves here. But he's sending his representatives time and time again. He's coming himself to show us by example how we can get out. The beautiful story, these stories are so amazing. The example given here, the coward boys are bewildered. They are fearless. They love Krishna to bits. When Krishna was killing, when Agasura demon was there, huge mouth, huge demon. Krishna was on the side of the demon standing and watching the coward boys playing around Agasura. And they were looking at this big demon thinking, What a beautiful playground for us. And the mouth was so wide, they couldn't even see it was touching the sky. The lower lip was touching the ground. They couldn't see the upper lip from the clouds. And they were thinking, this is a beautiful, you know, place we can play. And Radhanath Maharaj, just listening to his class, he said, Agasura's mouth was so big, the tongue looked like a multi-laned motorway or highway, you say. So these boys, and Krishna was on the side, and he's saying, please don't enter. He's like talking to, please don't go, because Krishna understood that Agasura was a demon. So lo and behold, these coward boys are fearless. They know Krishna is there to protect them in any dangers of life. So lo and behold, they walk right into the mouth of Agasura. And inside the mouth, obviously inside the mouth, is not very clean, very smelly, and very dark. So the boys and the calves, they kind of fainted while they were in there. And then Agasura is thinking, when is this little boy going to walk into my mouth? He was waiting so he can close his mouth. So Krishna said, I can never stand the pain of my devotees being hurt. I have to go. So he walked right into the mouth. And then the mouth closed. But Agasura got liberation after. So then Bakasura, another demon, all these demons sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna. And Krishna was only a mere 5-6-year-old. When Trinivata killed him, when Trinivata carried him on his shoulder, rose to the sky, Krishna was only 1 year old, sitting on his shoulder just 1 year. So, Krishna. So Bagasura, he was there, waiting to swallow Krishna. He managed to swallow Krishna. Krishna was in, but increased the heat of Bakasura's body. The heat became so unbearable, and Radhanath Maharaj said, Bakasura actually vomited Krishna out, spewed out Krishna. And when Krishna came out, Bakasura didn't stop there. He was still trying to attack with the beak. So Krishna took his beak and bifurcated it in two. So this story was seen by the residents of Vrindavan. Agasura, most of them didn't see, but Bakasura, they saw. And some of the residents were saying, no, it cannot be our Krishna doing this. It's due to our pious credit. They were covered by Yogamaya, obviously. It's due to our pious credit that Krishna is, being saved and killing these demons. So as I was saying, Trinivata, he took Krishna on his shoulder, and Krishna was a mere little baby, almost 1 year, and he rose. As he was rising, he was getting bigger and bigger, Trinivata, and the clouds were covering him, and Krishna was gently holding onto his neck, like little one-year-old baby. I'm a mother, so I know a lot of babies, you know, a lot about three children, having three children. Babies like to come for the neck, and they like to play with your ears, and they like to play with all over. They want to play with your face. So Krishna was playing with his neck while he was sitting on the shoulder, and he was getting higher and higher. He remained a baby. Krishna remained a baby, but he was getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Eventually, Trinivata couldn't carry that weight. Krishna was only 1 year, but he became so heavy that Trinivata couldn't hold him in the air anymore. So, bang, he fell right down to the ground and dislocated his body. So this is the nature of Krishna. He's showing time and time again how he can protect his devotees and how he can they can get liberation. He doesn't see whether this is a demon or this is a devotee. As long as Krishna kills, he liberates. So in this way, Trinavarta was killed. And Putana also was a person that grew and grew. 8 miles long, she grew. And Krishna as a baby reciprocated with her with so much love because he treated her as a mother. And normally when a mother, most people as mothers will understand, when they're breastfeeding the baby, it's a symbiotic relationship that a mother has with a baby, a child. And the child, when feeding, is so satisfied from drinking the milk from the mother's body that she derives the pleasure the same as the baby. And it's exciting to see that before the baby feeds, the baby is so excited, kicking its legs, kicking its hands, before it actually gets the teeth into the mouth. So when Krishna was going to be fed by Putana, all he was thinking, she is going to feed me as a mother. I am going to have a breast milk. That's what he was thinking. He had his fingers around her breast and he was drinking the milk. And as he was drinking, he wanted more to protect the residents of Vrindavan, obviously. So as he was drinking a life force within her. But Putana got to be a nurse in Krishna Leela. So no matter which way around you worship Krishna, there's always a reward. There's no question about it. There's always, we don't want to be demons, but whether you're a demon or a devotee, Krishna shows special favor, of course, to his devotees. So in this way, Putana was killed. So these beautiful stories are there for us to read and relish, and it's explained that every time we hear these stories, it purifies the heart of all impurities. I know in the early days, when we were bhaktas and bhaktins, there was no questions of evening prasadam. I don't want devotees to see this as controversial, but we tried to go as early as possible, eat as little as possible, and so this helps having a light body, easy to rise in the morning. So in the evening, we'd always have hot milk and a banana. I remember Chaitanya College, hot milk, banana, and Krishna book. We'd sit in a circle. This was in Chaitanya College. We'd sit in a nice little circle, and we'd pass the book around to each devotee to read a chapter. It was such a wonderful experience, just getting into this meditation of Krishna's pastime. There's no worry about the outside world. Everything is provided. Shelter, food, clothing, devotees association. What else do you need? Everything was there. So it was such an experience, you know, to go back and think about those times when simple, well, now it's, I think it's a little practiced, simple living and high thinking. So in this way, we, you know, passed our Krishna conscious days. So Brahma is still bewildered yet. These calves and cows and cowherd boys, they're all Vishnu. Actually, they were Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. Brahma was surprised. He was going like backwards. He was seeing the cowherd boys there, and then he'd come back and he'd see another set. And he was getting bewildered. How is it possible? I've illusioned them to sleep there, and then Krishna is very kind to his devotees. He teases them. He puts them in anxiety. But at the same time, when they're a bit bewildered, they're disturbed, or they cannot handle, like Mother Yashoda when she was tying up Krishna, 2 fingers sharp. She was trying, and Krishna left her over for a long period of time until she was perspiring and she was getting so tired, then he said, no, enough is enough. So he joined the pieces of rope. Even Prahlad Maharaj, someone may think, why Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee? Why is he put so under so much austerity? You know, just before he threw over the cliff, Krishna would catch him from underneath, put in a pit of snakes before he gets bitten, then he's saved, put into boiling. Every time, just before a big catastrophe can happen, then Krishna intervenes, he saves his devotee. But that is having faith. We have to have this faith like Prahlad Maharaj, irrespective of whatever comes in our life. Because whatever we experience in our lives is due to our past karma. We know that. We understand that from reading Srila Prabhupada's book. Because every one of us are in this material world due to our past activities, whatever. So our past activities, we purify in this lifetime, and the activities in this lifetime actually prepares us for our next body. So we don't really want a next body, do we? We will need to try as best as we can to get out of this material body. And the only way to do it is to try and practice at the beginning of our life. When we old, sick, and parts of our body are not working, it's very, very difficult. I know from experience, because when you get the flu, it's practically impossible to chant japa. For 1 week, I didn't chant japa. You can't. When Haridas Thakur was so sick, diseased, he said, Lord Chaitanya said to him, you don't have to chant your prescribed rounds now. And Haridas Thakur went, but I'm diseased. If I cannot chant my japa, then I'm diseased. So when we are fit, when we have, you know, intelligence, we have all the senses working nicely in the body, if we dovetail it all to serving Krishna, then in that way, at the time of death or nearing the time, then we would have practiced, you know, on the path of devotional service, then life would not be so difficult. So we have 10 minutes, if we can get into a little discussion. Philosophically, I love storytelling. I like to tell stories, but I am philosophically, I depend on Sutapa, Patatvavit, and all these other devotees for understanding deep philosophy. But I am happy with reading Krishna book, Hare Krishna, and chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu.
Saki, I can add a little bit to the Agasura pastime. The other day when I was preparing class, I came across this information from one of the acharyas, I don't remember who. He said that because the boys, the guard boys, saw Agasura's body as some kind of nice place to play, a really nice playground, Agasura somehow manifested a little bit attraction, you know, to attract the boys, come and play here. And that was considered his devotional service. He's said to have rendered devotional service to Krishna's devotees by doing that. And then, of course, after he died, also they used his body as a playground. So he was liberated with a form, a Vaikuntha form, whereas many other demons just received impersonal liberation.
Beautiful. Thank you, Prabhu.